Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have very amazing returning magical guest, Allison Charles, aka the Rockstar Shaman, is here joining me.
Hootie hoo! That's for the animal totem of the month, the owl.
Yes. And Allison, actually, you've been feeling the owl coming in even before March came. You knew it was like here and approaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so beautiful with these monthly energy forecasts that I write. They get published on Well and Good, and it's incredible the way each month I can feel the energies coming in and the communications for what needs to be expressed through the energy forecast, but especially the animal totems. They have been physically revealing themselves to me. I'm trying to remember. Oh, the month before, I had been in LA, and the last day that I was there, I was getting ready to get in the car and leave Topanga to head to LAX to fly back to New York. And as I put my things in the car, this hawk came cascading down from the sky and swooping down. And we made the connection, the hawk and I, and I was like, okay. And I thought that would be it. No, the hawk came right over top of me and my friend and circled around us, not once, not twice, but three times. And wow. I was circling with it and talking to it. And yeah, so they, and then owl came in really powerfully too. It's very potent stuff.
It's interesting. About 2 months ago, I kept noticing hawks as well. And the message that I got from it was taking that higher perspective, because I was getting very stuck in my ego personal self of like, you know, this is my journey in a way that was very like heavy. And whenever I saw it, I kept reminding myself to go up a little bit into the impersonal. And I would love to hear for both the hawk and the owl what your messages or their messages that come through you are. And you can separate hawk, because I know hawk and owl might have similar messages, but owl especially is very, I think, unique in its vibration.
Yeah, interesting. And before I tell you that, I'm curious, I would really like to know, what was the thing about hawk? What do you mean? Like when you went up, what was the bigger perspective that you saw?
Yeah, so at the time when I was seeing hawk a lot, I had just been delivered a blow of news that really rocked me. And I was getting stuck in my own personal trauma of it, like forgetting that there's a whole bigger purpose to these things that help us evolve. So when I saw the hawk, I kept remember not to completely leave my body or leave quote unquote small ego, Kate. I very much love the manifested ego, Kate. But I also kept, you know, when I saw it, I was like, go up a bit, go into the impersonal. Remember, there's a bigger divine plan for everything. So we often, our egos are like, this is the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like we think we know the answer and we want to control everything. And the hawk kind of reminded me that, you know, there's a higher perspective. There's a higher view that my higher self, you know, and all of our higher selves can orchestrate for us, even though us in this, you know, limited place think, oh, that's not the way it's supposed to be. This isn't according to plan. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, no, there's a bigger plan. And it just, in those moments, not that I could completely rise out of the drama, my personal drama, but it did keep reminding me there's a bigger thing going on.
Okay.
And even though I thought I knew the way something was supposed to work out, the hawk kind of reminded me, no, you know, God, our higher selves, they're the ones, in a sense, with the controller with all this. And they know, they meaning like deities, God, whatever you want to call it, universe, you know, I'm being supported, even though I felt at the time like I had just been kicked in the vagina dick.
Yeah.
I was like, no, somehow, even though it feels like that, this is for my highest interest.
Absolutely. And so I want to talk about the hawk and the owl medicine and how they actually are linked together in a second. But what you're now telling me reminded me about one of my shadow moments that I went through last week. And oh my gosh, it was one of the most powerful things, because I was being confronted with one of my greatest fears. And I was really intensely being kind of taken down in a lot of senses by this, of just like the constriction of the fear and the terrorizing thoughts and the what ifs. And I was like, okay, I all of a sudden shifted to this thought of like, okay, Allison, I know that even with this scary orb that is presenting itself to me, I know that it is possible to remain in a realm that is filled, completely filled with peace and faith and trust. And I know that I don't have to fill that realm with like things to just fill it, filler, the filler of like scary thoughts or things that you'd latch on just to fill the space. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I was like, I know it's possible for me to float in this, to be completely filled with peace and trust around this. And so I had that thought and I had that intention. Just so happens before I went to bed that night, I was doing an online shamanic ceremony with the Power Path School of Shamanism. And so I thankfully was able to immerse into that. Then I headed to bed. And when I was falling asleep, universe instantly was heeding that intention and that call that I had had around that realm, because when I was laying on my right side, all of these sacred geometry codes were entering in. And you know that I see a lot of like star illuminated beings a lot, especially as I'm drifting before I fall asleep. That's the norm for me at this point. But these things were all new. And there were all this sacred geometry codes coming in. And they were like all these designs and keys and codes. And then I accessed those. Then I rolled over to my left side. And that's when all of this like alien stuff, like these ancient hieroglyphs and alien yeah. pictures were coming in. And then the next thing that happened after I'd gotten immersed with all these frequencies was they took me to that realm. And when I tell you, it is the first time in my entire existence, this lifetime, perhaps I've done it other ones, I don't know, but first time this one, where I truly was accessing and immersed in complete peace, 100% faith, and complete trust.
Amen. And that story goes exactly with that hawk medicine for me. Obviously, it's a different form of it, but yes, it's like getting, you know, you want to get stuck in that fear almost, and not just fear or the pain or the anger or the sadness.
Yeah, you get attached to, because that's yeah. where we know to where to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, we don't understand how attached to suffering we become. Amen. And how attached to chaos we become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like from
really, I just pulled a piece of fuzz out of my mouth.
I thought maybe it was a chia seed or like a berry seed.
No, it was a little piece of like fuzz.
Amazing. But like, yeah, especially, you know, for those of us that may have childhood wounding or trauma that gets like encoded in us at a very young age, then we don't even, yeah. we're not even conscious to the addiction we get of the filler of suffering and the filler of chaos, because that's our becomes the comfort zone.
Yes.
And I've known for the longest time, and like I feel like this conversation we're having right now really is the like the true freaking expression of just like the path in general of like I've known that it's possible to be in a state of peace no matter what. I've known it's possible. And then like for the last year and a half or 2 years, layer by layer, it's like I've been encroaching on being able to actually experience it. Mm. But then it took the shadow and me entering into the cave that holds within it one of my greatest fears. And it took me stepping in and accessing into that shadow cave for me to be able to enter in to the place that provided me the greatest place of peace and light I've known.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful expression of exactly what you're saying, the path and what it means to really surrender. And I had something happen to me yesterday where I got my mail. I don't even know. I think it's fine for me to share this. I got my mail and I've been, I guess I'll share that. Yeah, I never know how much to share or not to share. Mm. Something happened in a health insurance arena.
Okay.
Where I sent in forms and stuff two different times.
Yeah.
And it, somehow the universe sucked it into a portal. They didn't get it. And then I get a thing being like, oh, we're going to cancel this. And I'm sure it's going to be okay. But what elicited, I have so much fear around not having health insurance. That's not just for me, but my dad. Like,
I can't believe I've never known this. As much as we talk, I didn't know you this existed.
It's like a deep underlying one that I would never, like, it's just, and it's, my dad is such a logical person, and that's something that you have to have. Like, do not fuck with not having health insurance. And I get it. I completely get it. Like, but that's something that's like been ingrained in my head forever. It's like, you do not fuck with that.
Okay.
And just seeing like, and I'm sure it's going to all work out. I'm going to call them, you know, tomorrow, Monday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be like, I will fax it, email it, drive it.
Are
like,
you stressing it though?
Yeah. Well, so when I got this, the fear and the rage and everything that came, like, because I was like, I fucking sent this to you twice. I don't even have a printer. Like, I had to print this shit out, sent it two different times. Like, where the fuck, like, why, like, can we update systems? Can I just email you this shit? Or like, why am I even mailing you this? Like all of,
right.
Like, I just was so upset even at the system of it. Like, this is so, you were just going to cancel it? Like, call me, motherfucker. Like I need, like, I just was like so upset. And then I just went, it's gonna be okay. And it wasn't that simple, but like a surrender, like, just.
And then on top of that, are you having to then be patient because you can't get in touch with them until Monday?
Oh my God. I knew they were closed. I called them last night.
That's,
and I knew I was going to get the automated system, but I just needed some kind of action.
Yeah.
And I of course got the automated thing, and I just was like, fuck this. Like, I just needed to do it.
Were you able to leave
it.
A message or you
no.
can do that? Okay.
You know.
So that's what's interesting though, because that has been, I had no idea, even though we've talked like probably 8 hours this week on FaceTime, I had no idea this happened. And this has been what's been coming up. I've been noticing so many of us are experiencing facing being triggered and being real triggery with some of our biggest rooted fears, and then but the added layer of the patience.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different ball game when you can be triggered and instantly find your way to a solution with that trigger or some sort of like endpoint. But it's a whole different ball game when you then have to tack on sitting with these feelings of being triggered, sitting with the fears for an extended period of time. That's where the real thing comes into play. How are you going to sit in that uncomfortability?
Mm, hallelujah, sister.
Because
thank you for verbalizing it in such a perfect way. Because yes, that was a thing of like, and it felt very built in. Like, you have to wait.
You have to sit with this.
And you have to trust that it's going to be okay. Obviously, I still called just to get an automated response.
Yeah.
Because I had to move some kind of energy somewhere and huff as I hung up. But yes, the patience and having to wait. And I did it. And here I am. Because I almost was like, I'm going to freeze time and just be mad and upset for a day and a half until I can call. And I was like, no, like, enjoy tonight. I watched The Wolf of Wall Street again.
So you were
love
able,
that movie.
You were able to, because it's got your boy in it.
Oh, Leah. Hey.
Hey. But you were able to shift into places and pockets of time and phases of time where you were truly okay.
Yeah, I did. It took some work. And then I was like, I'm going to enjoy this movie. Oh my God, that fucking movie. And
it's a great movie.
Had a Dream About Leo, where we were filming a movie and we had a makeout scene that I was actually very uncomfortable with. So it was interesting that even that, like, even in where I'm trying to be like, Leo, even there, it was like, my dream was like, I can't do this. But plus, I think his twin flame's Kate Winslet. So I'm not even trying to like step into that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She's married though, right? Or no?
It's like her third marriage. But if you need to watch on YouTube, Kate and Leo, sweetest things said to each other. Like,
they're
in love with each other. And yet they have their own wounds and belief systems that are still keeping them as of now from fully entering that union, but like it's very obvious. Then I rewatched Titanic this week just to like, not the part where it sinks because I don't want to watch a boat sink again, right. but their love story, I'm like, their chemistry, it's just, it's like ages old. Like you feel it and there's like that timeless quality and like, and then, you know, he has great chemistry with Margot Robbie with Wolf of Wall Street, but it doesn't feel, if that feels like a soulmate connection for sure.
Right.
But it doesn't feel twin flame.
It was interesting. The girl that he dated fairly recently, I it's not like we're besties. It's not like I know her, but I met her a number of times and like I've been in the same space as her a number of times. Nina Agdal, she's that beautiful like Victoria's Secret.
Interesting that you've been in the space with her.
Well, with him too. Like
we one time were sitting right next to him, but I didn't know until he got up and left and you were like, Kate.
Well, Leo he was right sitting there next to us the entire time.
Thank God you didn't tell me because I would have been so awkward about it. Just staring at him.
But it was interesting when he was dating her because they were actually together for quite some time. And like she is so lovely, like super down to earth, super friendly, really vibrant and, you know, just like effervescent, you know, not an egoic thing. And so for him to see that they were together for so long, I was like, wow, is this, maybe this is the shift for him. Maybe this is something, but then I guess not.
I think it's him. You got to watch the video with him. And I feel weird feeling into their energy and saying it on the podcast because I feel like I'm misusing my gift, even doing that with them. But I'll say a little, what I think is holding them back a little bit is I think she's, since they met, had like a self-consciousness around her weight. Like she is very open about how she kind of used to be chubby or whatever. And first of all, she's gorgeous. Like she, you know what I mean? I think she's just stunning no matter what weight she's at. And I think part of it is like her really claiming not just her beauty, but something even deeper worth related.
Yeah.
And I think, I already feel bad going that far into it.
Well, then imagine, too, add on top of that, the women that he always dates are Victoria's Secret models and supermodels, like the most externally gorgeous women on the planet. So interesting.
So that adds fuel to the fire. Exactly.
Of like, like after he's been with all of that, how or why could he even be with my figure?
Yes.
Because it's so different than what he is, what meanwhile, he clearly gravitates to.
She's like Venus figure, you know?
Yeah, totally. Voluptuous.
Oh, she's just, and like so many people who've had makeout scenes with Kate Winslet, like actors, you know, they always say, they're like, oh, I still hold a torch for her. Like she has an energy. And Leo even said, when I think it was on Oprah, who was your best kiss, and he was like, oh, there's going to be a lot of angry actresses, and then he said Kate Winslet.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Oh yeah. I yeah,
slurp slurp.
So I think that they are twin flames. So I think that was part of in my dream why I couldn't fully, also, you know, I don't believe he's my twin flame. So
who do you think my twin flame is?
Oh my God, I can't do that right now. We'll have to save that for after. I don't know, you've either not met him yet, or if you have, we'll have to do this after.
Hilarious. I'm like, wait, we've never talked about that. Well, no, we have, but like,
can I read to you a couple, and then we get into the owl. I just want to get your thoughts. So because last time I read a whole list of twin flames and I just wanted to add like three to it, and I want to get your, okay, so one is, do you watch Game of Thrones? You don't, right?
Actually, I started to. I'd only freaking heard it. I was like 2 years late to the game. Well, I don't know when it first came out. How many years ago?
A while. I don't know though.
Well, I just started to watch it. So I'm familiar with what everyone's speaking of.
So I think Emilia Clarke and Kit Harington, Jon Snow, and
the dragon
Khaleesi.
Oh, you think in real life?
Yes.
Oh, that is hot.
It often translates, but he's engaged to the girl that was a wildling.
What? Who?
You know nothing, Jon Snow. The girl,
the red haired one.
They're together in real
life. In real life? I did not know this.
Yes. But I think that they're obviously in the show and in real life a deep soulmate connection. But I think his twin flame for sure is Emilia Clarke. I mean, she is just lights up a room, adorable hotness.
Her figure.
I mean, give me a break, Emilia. We love you. Okay. Queen Elizabeth and Philip. I don't know if you've seen The Crown.
No.
In real life and in the show.
What's the deal with them in real life? Are they both married to other people? Do you know?
Oh, no. Queen Elizabeth and Philip are still together. King Philip.
But you mean like in real life?
In real life. So the show, The Crown, is based on them for real, but it goes into their story. And I'm like, whoa, they are twin flames. Like, holy shit. Okay. Like, yeah, it really, the show goes into it. I don't think in a way that they appreciate it in real life.
Hmm.
But for me, seeing their dynamic in an intimate way, even though it's being played by actors, it's
but
like.
Are you saying the actors that play those parts should be together?
I like that you brought that up. I think both, actually.
Arr.
Yeah. Hey. And then this is the one I really wanted, because I have a couple others, but we can save those for like towards the end. So last time I said Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, and but I wasn't sure about it. And I said that, I go, I'm not sure. And then I've talked to a couple people, still not sure, but this might be, and I'm scared to say it. Twin flames with Ben Affleck might be Jennifer Lopez. Do you remember when they were together?
Yeah.
Do you remember how crazy in love they were? Like, they were making out, like, tonguing each other.
So hot. The video that she filmed for one of her songs, he was in it on the boat, on the yacht.
Yes.
In Miami or wherever they were. And he was rubbing up on her in the video.
Yes.
So they were so overt with their passion.
I think they might be twin flames. I think I'm scared to even say it because J-Lo is such a powerful entity. And, like, I don't even, because she's, like, with A-Rod. Like, I don't even want to like rub up against anything with her.
Like, I can almost hear her response to that of
like,
being
no,
like, no, not even like, not even angry like that. Just basically like, because she is clearly an awakened queen, yeah. And like, I feel like she has evolved. She's someone who evolves continuously, like us.
Yes.
And I feel like her response would be like, just hang on, because I heard it in my head. It was almost just like. She kind of has that cute little chuckle and she's just like, she's like amused by it. And she's just like, girl, like, it's just to her, it's just a funny thought because of where she has ascended to. And I think, yeah, she probably, listen to me talk
know.
Like I know her answer.
I feel like they might, once again, this is one that I've, when I, it's tricky with her. I'm not sure why. Uh-huh. Trickier with her than it is for me to feel into these other couples. But I do have a feeling it might be Ben Affleck.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what I would pick up on her reaction to
yes.
it being. And I think if she were to think about it, she would think about how physically attracted to one another they are and like all that stuff. But whatever.
Yeah, I've never seen either of them be so lit up.
Yeah.
Than in that dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly her and A-Rod have a hotness to them as well. Obviously.
It's a whole different thing. It's very interesting with all of her relationships, how different the essences of each one feels, you know, it's
yes.
like truly different chapters in evolution.
Yes. Anyway, I want to hear what you were about to go into the hawk and owl thing. You have your book.
Well, we can just talk about it a little bit. Well, it was interesting because, so hawk was the animal medicine for February and then owl came in very clearly for March. And when I was, you know, so Al had presented herself, and it wasn't until I started doing more research when my big animal speak dictionary, when I was reading up on owl, I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea about this previously. But do you see how on the bottom it says owl and then hawk and it lists?
No way.
They're connected.
Oh, wow. I love that.
So owl represents lunar and nighttime. Mm. And then it lists a bunch of different kinds of owls. And then hawk represents solar and daytime.
Interesting.
And I had no idea that they were so potently interlinked like that.
Me neither.
Would you have ever guessed that?
No.
No. And so, but what was interesting for me on a personal level with the owl medicine is that I have been noticing for a long time, probably for a couple of years, like from my upper spine through my neck, I've been just like, I feeling pain almost to the point where I'm like, did I experience whiplash years ago and I just never knew it? Because I've just had so much pain in my neck. And then when I was reading up about owl, there's so much, so many properties to owl. It's one of the most potent medicines. In the book, the owl has like 6 or 7 pages, whereas most animals have like 1 or 2. And one of the things that just jumped out at me, like it had like illumination on it, it talks about how people that have owl medicine as their one of their main totems, if you are experiencing like pain or like discomfort or issues with your neck, you're suppressing a lot of the gifts that owl represents, which is the ability to see so truly and access so deeply into other people's truths and soul that you see their truth and soul most times much far more than what they even know their truth or soul to be. You know what I mean? And that is so one of my main gifts. And that took me back to childhood of it being one of my primary gifts. You know, I'm visionary and I'm clairvoyant and I'm clairaudient. And like, there's so many different ways I access and my gifts work. But this one of me being able to, a lot of times even very instantly, access truth on people, I think to preserve certain relationships as I was a little girl, I had to suppress that owl gift of seeing truth. And it spoke to me. And then with all the pain in my neck, and I was like, oh, wow, it's time for me to allow myself to have this gift activated within me again. And I have to trust, because it can get a little scary, because it's like if you're walking around seeing everyone's truth and seeing their soul way more than what they even know their soul, how the hell then do you navigate all these relationships? It makes it really tricky, and it can make it really freaking difficult sometimes.
Especially when you're a kid.
Yeah. And so then I now know it's time for me to let that gift fully activate and flourish again. And I have to trust, because it's revealing itself to me, I know that it's time. I have to trust that my soul is ready to have it come alive again. I have to trust in the divine timing. And I have to trust that I will find my way and I will navigate my way through with me being able to see all of this stuff. I have to know that I'll find my way with each relationship then. You know what I mean?
And we were talking a little bit about this, or a lot about this, before we started recording, because we're talking about intuition on the deepest level, right? Yeah. And it's not just about seeing other people's truths, it's our own, right? And really allowing ourselves to let that, because we've always had, every one of us, deep intuition, but some of us had a disconnect as kids if we were being punished for speaking our truth. Mm-hmm. And, yep. You know, so a part of what Alice and I were talking about, without going too deep into it, is when you're not able to live yet in a way that's fully aligned with your own intuition, because it's not where you're there yet even, you know, that's a whole other dance as well, is like, oh, my intuition's telling me I shouldn't go to this place, or maybe I should do this instead. And yet I don't want to fully align with my deepest truth yet. And being okay with that is still your intuition, because sometimes your intuition's telling you,
yes,
this is where I'm at. Even if this person that I'm about to hang out with isn't exactly the one I think I should today, or, you know, I'm taking this gig that, you know, my intuition's saying, maybe not, but this is what I want to do. And yes. And honoring that too, like, but this is where I'm at, is still listening to your intuition, right? In an interesting way, is saying like, okay, like maybe this person isn't the one, and yet I still want to explore this, or a job thing, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but like, that's the interesting part. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, is then, you know, what do we do then? Which one do we go with? And if we have both sets of awarenesses, right? We are working, we're so awake and we're so conscious that we're working with both fields of awareness. We're aware of the field of our deeper soul knowingness that's like, no, turn the other way, shut the door. And then we've got the other awakened awareness of, okay, I hear that. I'm acknowledging that. But like you just said, this is where I'm at right now. And there's a part of me that even with the deeper soul knowingness wants to do this dance a little bit more. So is there a right or wrong? And then if we choose to go with the one that we want to do the dance more, even it, in spite of our higher self knowledge, then how do we move forth with that decision and not be plagued by fear or like, you know what I mean?
No, what a beautiful, it's reminding me. So in my school, they've been teaching us a meditation. It's a walking meditation called impersonal movement. And a couple steps within there is where you nest opposites, which reminds me of the first thing. Not that they're necessarily opposites, but like this one place that's saying, this is your uttermost, deepest truth. And then this other place, it's like, this is where I'm at and this is what I want to do. And you just kind of hold both, right? It's like both exist. And then from that comes volition, desire of like, what's really pulling me and what direction do I want to go in? And I think the most beautiful piece in all this, and the founder of my school, Jason Schulman, when he was on the podcast with his amazing, talented wife, Arlene, he helped me with this of like this exact thing of, just approaching life like there is a right or wrong was giving him more information than the actual which way to go.
I'm not following yet.
So there, essentially what he was saying to me is like, I was being so hard on myself of, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to go in this direction or that? And it's more about right now, in this exact moment, I feel like doing this. And now I feel like doing this. It's like really allowing, I think, the flow of I'm nesting these different places. One place tells me this person isn't the one, but this other place is telling me I want to explore this and this is where I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
And then there's this whole other place. It's like, I actually want to go over in this whole other direction. That's not even either of that. Like,
okay.
And just kind of allowing all of those things in. And then from there going, so what do I want to do? And it doesn't have to be like, what do I want to do? As if it's going to determine your fate.
Yeah.
You know, with the big F.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like you're going in the direction you're meant to, which is just you unfolding as the flower you are. Uh-huh. And it doesn't have to be as heavy, you know, like it can just be like, okay, I feel like doing this. And trusting that whatever that decision is going to help open up more options. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I just fucked up, or is this the right decision? Or it doesn't have to be as heavy.
Yeah, because I think it can kick in like, oh, you're overriding your highest self communication, you know, what's going to come of this decision then? You know what I mean? Especially when you're someone who has had awakenings and you in the past, part of the reason you had awakenings was because you were resisting what your higher self was trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it does feel different. Maybe I'm just trying to tell myself this, but it does feel different when you have that awareness of all of it.
Yeah.
And it also brings up to me an Abraham Hicks quote.
You're also not getting engaged, right? Do you know what I mean though? Like our past selves.
Yeah.
I'll speak for me. I mean, I made decisions where suddenly I'm engaged again after just calling off this other wedding and now I'm pregnant. Like,
yeah,
my resistance then compared to my resistance now is a whole other ball game.
That's true.
And I don't want to bring up any like crazy personal things for you, but same with you. Like, we're not talking like you're placing a heaviness on things that are not that heavy.
That's true.
You know, it's like,
yes.
Like you're already headed in this direction. Like your resistance is nothing compared to you and I both weren't even awake really at all, probably to the people we're comparing to. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And with Abraham Hicks, they have a quote that's like, make a decision and make it the right one. You know what I mean? Like you just, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, like whatever the decision is that you want to do, like then make
own it.
Yeah.
Wear it.
Make that the right thing and keep moving. Keep it moving.
Yeah. Like don't put on the outfit and then the whole day be like, stupid fucking outfit. I should put on the other outfit. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm wearing this outfit.
Or like if I would have worn that outfit, everything would have been different.
I would have gotten the job. Yeah. I would have gotten the guy.
Yeah. Oh God. What a tortured way of living.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, and it's even like, I'll compare it to the health insurance thing. It's mm-hmm. like, I better call the right time and I better send it, you know, and it's kind of like, it's going to be what it's supposed to be. Like whatever's happening in this thing mm-hmm. Is going to happen regardless. I'm just going to try the best I can with the abilities I have and trust that it's going to go the way it's supposed to. And that's just a much less tortured way of existing. And I think you and I both have a perfectionistic gene. And I know for myself, like, oh my gosh, even 10 years ago, mm-hmm. not that I was always conscious of it, but there was so many stakes in everything I did and beating myself up. Oh my God, I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And now I think I'm just way freer about the way I approach life. Thank God. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all right, I'm going to try my best, you know?
Yeah. Just softening, like we were saying the other day on the phone, of just like, I'm doing the best I can. This is where I'm at today. This is where I'm at. These are the thoughts I'm having. These are the things that are coming up for me. This is what I'm thinking. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, all right, I'm human. It's all, and plus you and I and so many people listening, everyone, we've come so far and have learned so many lessons that like at some point you just have to go like, I'm killing it. Like, I'm not where maybe I thought ego Kate thought I was supposed to be.
Right.
I mean, if you asked me when I started comedy 8 years ago, I thought by now I'd be like ridiculously rich and famous. You know?
Yeah, you would be in the pool in your mansion and you would have like at least a couple of movie franchises under your belt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was but like, yeah, like I had different expectations. And now I'm kind of like, and I played this game with myself this morning of really asking my higher self. And having a dialogue like, okay, why am I here? Why is this the dream? Mm-hmm. This is my dream. It has to be. I'm living it. So why is this my dream? And I really had a great conversation like, oh, I'll explain to you why this is your perfect present dream. And I went back and forth.
What
and
are
I was
a couple
like,
of the answers?
Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, this is a great exercise.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. Why am I currently still single in the way that I am?
Right.
It's so funny because it's so deep. Like I'll try to do it as from a present moment. So if I try to go back to what the answer was then, who knows exactly what came through. But I believe, let me tune into it. You know, I was a serial monogamist. It was part of, I have for real been struggling with a love addiction my entire life. It wasn't conscious when it started, but I really, and there's a line in one of my poems, I made heroin out of men. Which is what people can do. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, look at that person. He's an alcoholic. Honey, you can make heroin out of yoga, out of men, everything. Out of gambling, porn. I mean, I could name food. So I did that with men and I'm sure many other things, including sugar. And I really am still in process. Being single is allowing me to fully come into my power. And it's a lot harder for me to individuate when I'm in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I still very much want to give up a lot of myself to stay in that thing.
Yep.
And I very much want to soon be in a twin flame partnership, but I know that I had to be single and I guess still currently have to be to really step into my power and continue on the path that I'm meant to be on. And once again, it's very easy for me to give up my path and want to live for the other person. And for me, what I really want in the deepest level is freedom to be who I really am. And, I'm getting closer to be able to hold that freedom while in a partnership.
Yeah.
But up until I think currently I wasn't able to hold totally. The freedom and the partnership. And I do feel that I'm getting closer with it, but it would be a bigger nightmare for me to be with someone and not truly be who I am.
Oh, no. Been there, done that. As we say, got 10 t-shirts.
Started a t-shirt
got
franchise.
Got the sweater, got the turtleneck, got the sweatshirt. Got
sweatpants the, have it along the side.
Like, we had a store of merchandise yeah. for that one.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's like part of,
okay,
you know.
Okay, that's a great exercise, I feel like, for me, for your listeners. So you wake up and you, how do you ask yourself?
So I connect to my higher self very consciously. I'm like, okay, this is the dream I'm living. I think I want to be somewhere else, but this is it. This is my present moment. This is where I'm at. This is my current home / apartment. And then from there, I go, well, let me ask, why is this my dream right now?
Got
why
it.
Is this my
that's brilliant
yeah and then it and honestly Tim helped me with it a while ago because I remember saying to him telling him about the mansion I had picked out
yeah
and I was like that's my dream home that and it is in a certain way but he said which woke me up he was like well I believe that my current home is my dream home and it kind of shook me a little bit and I was like huh. And that was like my first, and he very often allows me to come into a reality that I don't want to necessarily be in. Because at that moment, I was off in fantasy mansion, which I do think will be my mansion one day.
Right.
But not right now. So why is right now this current apartment home?
The dream.
The dream. And it is for so many reasons. It reminds me of the townhome I lived in with my dad and my brother before my dad got married. And I think it's allowing me to heal a lot of... that was like my safe place, probably one of my only safe places.
Yeah.
It'll make me emotional. When my dad got married and they combined homes, I suddenly didn't feel like it was my home anymore. So this, my current place reminds me in so many ways of this townhome before that happened. And so I think there are a lot of things.
Yeah.
It feels so mine and it feels, the space feels manageable. I don't feel ready yet to be worthy of a mansion, even though I know I am on a deep, deep level. It feels like I have to own and accept that I'm worthy of this home before I'm ready for something mm-hmm. else. There's so many things.
Yeah, that's such a powerful exercise.
Yeah, so, and it helps. I mean, I feel like I'm in such a good mood today. One, because I had Leo, Jake Gyllenhaal and Angelina Jolie fighting over me in a dream.
Amazing.
They were like trying to like, they were like running jokes past me and like, so
really
like I
wanting your approval.
Yeah. So I woke up like, and I know it was just a dream and I very much admire all of them and look up to them, which I did in the dream as well. But I just kind of woke up, did that exercise. And I'm like, I am like, this is my dream. Like I'm sitting across from one of my best friends who's like an ascended master walking the earth plane. Like, I just love you completely. Like, what a dream. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll make me emotional to really go there. But mm-hmm. talk about the first time I met you on, you know, Invasion of Privacy, but with Joe Santagato, like, so, and I remember we have the picture. Maybe I should repost one of.
Yeah.
Like, I look like, right? I just met Oprah Winfrey. Like, I am geeking out. Like, my eyes are just like, I'm like, ah, you know,
the joy that's erupting from your smile. You're like, yeah.
And like, here I am, like, getting to sit across from you and talk about alien codes coming through for you and owl and hawk medicine. And I'm just so grateful that I have a friendship like this where I never feel judged for being out there mm-hmm. or talking about aliens or crystals or whatever. And it's still a newer friendship. Like, this is still a newer thing that graced my life. And and especially since my accident a couple weeks ago, it's helping me to realize this is my dream and I'm so grateful mm. and I've come a long way. And the Titanic also really helped me when watching Rose and having her be, they were trying to impose a life upon her, mm-hmm. her mother and her current fiance. And I really, and I've been there where I felt like many times a life was being imposed upon me and I was the biggest one imposing it, my
correct.
Belief system.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm just grateful. I'm like, man, I've broken free. I just released ooh. Labia Game. Like, I've broken free in so many ways of what people thought my life was supposed to be and what I thought my life was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I just want to keep celebrating my own freedom.
Amen. Amen. Aho. Yeah. You keep blasting through those layers, like blasting through, punching another one through, stepping through another one, like opening it up wider and wider, fuller and fuller, you know, just.
So do you. You do.
Yeah. Yes. It's. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness.
And it's hard. I definitely want to talk about the banana stand. You just did an amazing Instagram, but you have to, if you're not following Allison Charles, the Rockstar Shaman on Instagram, you got to. She has such high vibrational posts that are both visually engaging and then also spiritually on the deepest level activate things within your system. So I would definitely recommend if you're not yet. And you did a post about the banana stand, which we had talked about. And I would love for you to explain, because I have this, I never called it a banana stand because my vision was a separate but similar place of wanting to
escape.
And I would love to hear you explain what the banana stand is.
Yeah. So I think it started maybe a few years ago. I guess it is a defense mechanism or a self-preservation mode that I would go into when I would hit up against. Now, I didn't know this at the time, you know, all these years ago when the banana stand vision first got initiated and activated. But yes, now I come to understand when I am hitting up against certain phases in my life where I feel like I just cannot go on anymore. You know, and 2 days ago was one of those days. I just, for so many different reasons, I felt tapped out. I felt maxed to the limit. I was just throughout the day hitting limit after limit and resistance after resistance. And I was just like, oh my God, I was sobbing and sobbing. I was just like, looking around, just like, what is all of this? What am I doing with my life? Like, I can't go on anymore. I don't want to go on anymore. And then when I am hitting that maxed of a place, I always have this vision, this place I want to go to. And it's like a faraway island. And it's a very clear vision.
Do we know which island or no?
Well, it's like, yeah, it's like Bora Bora, or it's, you know, somewhere in that neck, neck of the woods on the planet.
Where is Bora Bora?
Far away.
Okay.
It's like over there. Who even cares?
Got it. It's Bora Bora. I love that. Bora Bora. Over there. And yeah. It totally makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I have a stand, and it's a banana stand, and it sits right on the beach, and it's like fun and playful, and it sits right in front of a very luxurious and posh resort, you know, but it's right in front of it. And, you know, it's made of like reclaimed wood that, you know, that was floating in some nearby lagoon or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just like the vibes. There's this amazing music playing, and like the signs are like hand painted, you know, like organic banana smoothie for 5 cents. But you get a free one if you can do a handstand on the sand for a minimum of 15 seconds. If anyone can do that, then you get a free organic banana smoothie.
Amazing.
And it's just so fun. And that is my stand.
Wow.
And like, that's my life. I, you know, like, I'm in a bathing suit and you hear the ocean waves crashing and you're in the sun and you're whipping up. You've got your Vitamixes going and all this like fresh organic fruit. And then after I have my playtime being out in the elements and the sunshine and all those high vibrations during the day, my house where I stay is a freaking king presidential suite within the resort that it sits behind, or that it Wow. sits in front of. And so then I go in to the opulence and the luxury where anything you need is at your beck and call. Self-care is on demand, and you're in those different kind of high vibrations. Cause I like both. I like the being at one with earth and the elements and being playful and getting a little gritty, but I also love pure luxury and opulence too. And that is where I go, my friend. And I call a banana stand day when I am like effing done. I want to tap out. I can't go on anymore. And then I my brain takes me to, it's time to escape. You got to get to Bora Bora. You got to pack all this stuff up. It's done.
Yeah.
This phase of your life is done. You got to get to the banana stand. And so anytime I know I'm hitting that, that's when I know I'm in an up-leveling phase in my life. And I've noticed it. It's happened enough, and I've been consciously aware of it enough that I'm like, okay, Allison, If you're having a banana stand thought kind of day, that means your life is about to go somewhere spectacular. But it's like, ugh.
Yeah. And I just could so relate, whereas like oftentimes when I'm not liking my current dream, I go, it wasn't a banana stand, but it's some kind of, not just an island. I think about traveling from place to place, like having no anchor at all, almost. Mm. Like almost like not a backpack, because there's more opulence to it than just a backpack, but pretty much like a nice van, or, you know, and just having no responsibility. And of course it's just a fantasy because I have a son and I would never want to not have him be like a daily part of my life. Mm-hmm. And yet the fantasy when things in my current life are not feeling, bless you.
Thank you.
Fulfilling or whatever it is, I want to escape to like from beach to beach to
hiking. So it's like global. It's not just over here. It's like you're somewhere
else. I just want to be on the move. It's almost like problems will never catch me kind of a feeling. And then I always have to remind myself, and you said this quote where it's like,
wherever you go, there you are.
Yes.
Ain't no escaping the issues or whatever. Not that things are even issues. Just
no, I agree. Yeah. It's like, you know, we think that if we change the scenery, whatever discomforts we have will go away, and it might shift it. It there's a genuine, you know, energy affects energy. So sometimes you do need to be in a beautiful place. So it's not to say, you know, those things aren't real. And yet if you have, you know, an abandonment issue or whatever it is, it's not going to go just because you're by the mountains or beach or
like we always talk about wherever. The key to all of this, and you must always get to the root. Always. Like you have to keep peeling back the layers of the onion. Like if you're aware of a behavior within yourself, like you got to go down, and get to the very bottom root of it. Otherwise, it's only going to shift or keep reappearing or whatever. Like,
yep.
It ain't.
Pima Chodron has that quote where it's like, I'm going to butcher it a bit, but it's like, nothing goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. Mm-hmm. Okay, didn't butcher it, but
that was actually verbatim. Yeah.
I surprised myself there. I think because I took the pressure off is what allowed it to come out. But I so believe that. And that quote's been speaking to me from the very beginning of my spiritual journey. She was one of the first teachers that came in. And I really believe that. And oftentimes, whether it's location or a specific romantic partner, I've been guilty of thinking, oh, I just need to get rid of this partner and I won't feel this pain anymore. I'll just get rid of this location. And, you know, and to some degree that look, I left art teaching and that particular job was not helping me grow anymore, but it also leaving didn't suddenly fix the whole thing,
right?
You know, and
it just opened it up and opened you up to get to the places that you needed to go and access to get the thing being fixed.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. It allowed me to expand.
Yeah.
And open up my petals, but it didn't fix me, and I'm not even yet fix. The only thing that ever really obviously fixes us is just yourself having to go deeper and deeper within and really using everything as a mirror. Mm-hmm. So now, even now, because I get triggered all the time still, but what's really changed is the moment I'm blaming something for my discomfort, really making myself go in and say, okay, what's this really about? What's this showing me about me that I don't want to see?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because as we've talked about so many times, it's so much easier for us to see what someone else is doing. Oh, like, why do you think they always act like that? Or I'm so aware, like, can we talk about something? Because I've really been seeing something within you that, like, you may need to be aware of. And it's just, it's so much easier, obviously, to see what someone else is doing. But then, tracking back within yourself, like, I think we've both gotten better at it. But
we've made, I think, huge strides.
Of like letting ourselves see the stuff within us, for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's what's so beautiful too about our friendship is I think we both don't let each other at this point fully go into a blame. Do you know what I mean? Like some girlfriends love to get, and this is going to sound dissy and I'm sorry, but like get together and be like, that girl sucks. She's a jerk. Or that guy, he's just da 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 da. And like sometimes someone was a total jerk and you have every right to vent and express. But when you find yourself continuously wanting to vent about other people being dicks or jerks, you know something's going on. And you and I, for the most part, like even if we have to for a second, be like, this person is not seeing my power. After about 10, 15 minutes, we go, okay, what's going on with me? Like, what's this showing me?
Yeah.
And that those are the kind of, I feel, high vibrational discussions that will always take us to a higher place. Vent for as long as you need about the other person, whatever. But ultimately, going back and saying, okay, what do I need to learn from this? What am I doing? What am I missing? What's a blind spot here for me?
Yeah, and that's the balanced equation that is the key, is like letting ourselves feel those human emotions and not denying ourselves from feeling that stuff and accessing those feelings. It's like, okay, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling rageful. I'm so frustrated. Oh, why is he such a jerk? Or, you know, and like, letting that humanness be expressed and be accessed and touch pointed, but then shifting to the higher plane of what is the lesson here? Yeah. What's going on here? And it's like, yeah, letting us have the both.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, why we have grown so much is like we continually or continuously, whatever the, I guess it's both.
Both.
Yeah. Ooh. yeah, it's because for people who really, really want to grow down here in these densities, really the only way to do it is to be willing to look within. And when your shame body is too big, it's really, really hard to do that because you feel like a piece of shit at first when you start seeing the ugly and the dark. And then eventually I think I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oh yeah, that was really bitchy.
Yeah.
Especially when you start looking at your subconscious and like, wow, I can't believe I said or did that. That came from a place of anger. Wow. Mm-hmm. I really, I guess, was still mad at this person and didn't want to see that. Mm-hmm. Whoa. And I'm less hard on myself. And I'm not like, I can't believe I'm like, oh wow, I was really angry.
For sure. Yeah. I know. So many awarenesses.
Awareness. Oh. I'm so happy you came on.
Oh my gosh. It's always so great. I love, like, the time goes by so fast.
So fast.
I looked down and I was like, oh wow, that was a time warp. But just in general, I was just thinking about this morning. I mean, I've been having this thought, but the last like month to 2 months, time and space, just like, where is it? I feel like the days are warping past. And like, I'll look at the time and it'll be like 4 or 5 or 6 at night. And I'm just like, where for real though, not just saying like, where did the day go? Like, no, for real. Like, where the F did the day go? And I just feel like time does not, something is happening with time.
I'm feeling, it's funny because A Wrinkle in Time just came out in theaters.
Right. Oh, hey, Oprah. With your girl. Hey, Ava.
No, I agree. And yet for me, some days still extend, but it's still like in relationship to that whole thing of like, what is time? What is space? Like some days drag and then some days zip. And it's, you know, it even with daylight savings, it just shows you that time is real but also such an illusion. And
yeah,
it's much zippier and weirder and wrinklier than we realize,
for sure,
which is pretty
just
cool.
Like that portal, and I know we got to wrap it up, but like that portal when I was falling asleep and getting those codes delivered to me and then I entered in that realm. I especially when work like that is taking place, I have no concept of time, because when I was trying to tell you about that story on the phone like the next day, I was like, I don't know. I think if I had to guess, I was receiving the sacred geometry and the alien hieroglyphs for 10 minutes. And then when I rolled over and entered into the realm of pure, you know, unadulterated peace and faith and trust, I think I was in the accessing that portal in that orb for like a half hour. But like, I have no idea. I might have been in that portal for 5 hours. I don't know.
Yeah. It's so interesting when it comes to those deep, deep places, whether mm-hmm. it's through a meditation or just your own self accessing a portal. How really it's hard to know. Yeah, because there have been so many times where I'm like thinking that meditation was like 5 minutes and it was like half an hour, especially with sound baths.
Yeah.
Sound baths. My thing went out for a second. Sound baths for me warp time mm-hmm. a bit in a good way where it's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But okay, we're good. For a second, I got so worried that I was like, oh no, did it just, no, but we're
well,
totally.
That's happened to me before. I've done a podcast that was like so off the charts because we had never met each other before. You know, this guy and yeah. I, at the end, his machine lost everything. I was like, no.
What a night. Like that feeling.
And so now every time I podcast ever since, I'm always like, that thing better be running. The whole time we've been doing this, I'm like, please let our machine
for a
be
split
working.
Second. It just went out for a quick sec for whatever, the mic. But I was like, I swear okay? to God, no, we're totally okay.
I'd like put a little like post-traumatic podcast. Yeah.
My heart went, okay. So Allison, where can they find you?
Well, as you mentioned, you can find me on Instagram. It's at Rockstar Shaman. But I also want to let everyone know I'm super excited about this new project that I'm just launching. Once a month for the next 4 months, you can join me online for a new moon meditation. It's the first time I'm doing anything like this. Like before with all of my talks and events, you had to be like either in New York or LA or, you know, somewhere you could physically go. Now for the first time from the comfort of your home, you can, you know, join. And every month on the new moon, I'll guide you through like getting clear on your intentions for the new moon. You can lay down and relax and I'll guide you on a new moon meditation. It's going to be really powerful. And the other cool thing is, in order to register, you can go to the homepage of my website, AllisonCharles.com or RockstarShaman.com, and there's a link that will take you to register. Or you can go to the nonprofit that I'm partnering with called The Mind Oasis, and it's themindoasis.org. And because it's a nonprofit, we have different tiers of pricing.
Oh, I love
that. So there's no excuse. Like if you are doing great financially, you can pay the normal price and it actually can cover the cost of someone who's maybe struggling a little bit. And if you're just like really wanting to do these next four new moons with me and you're just at a point financially where you're just like, oh, I really want to do this, there's a donate button to where like there's for real no reason you can't do this.
So everyone listening,
yeah,
if your heart's telling you you want to do it, money can't be the excuse. Exactly. You can do this. And I've been to a lot of Allison's events and they're unreal. They're amazing. And yeah.
Thank you.
I've met, I guess, two or three of different spirit animals because of you. And each one was such a uniquely but intense experience. Yeah. So cool. So
yeah. So it's just 1 hour in the evenings and we'll be harnessing and uniting with the deep, potent power and majesty of La Luna.
Yes.
La Luna.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. For me, buy my album.
Yeah. If you ain't peeped the labia game.
That, yeah. Check out Labia Game for sure on YouTube. It's under my channel. It's also listed under two other channels, but you can go under Kate Wolf. That's an easy way to find it. Labia Game is on there. I love your comments. Everyone, all of my listeners obviously have been very, very positive. And then, yeah, my actual comedy album, 1111, available on iTunes and other places, but I think iTunes is the easiest way to access. I would love for you to buy and support. You can rate on iTunes. But yeah, get that. And the Labia Game song is on there as well. I'm trying to think when this comes out. I think, yeah, check out my website. I need to update it.
I've been working on that the last couple of days.
.com. I definitely need to update it. But the Clit Ninja t-shirts are on there. So,
well,
hello.
There's no other reason you need.
Hello. But yeah, definitely get my album 1111. Check out Labia Game. And thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you so much, Allison, for coming on.
Danke schön, my dear fellow goddess queen, dragon sorceress friend. Love you.
De nada. Love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.